from Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20.
I'll be right back.
And Paul has a wonderful way of giving the Galatians and us too a little gib slap in the back of the head. We are back in this particular passage to the Gospel Plus. We've been redeemed by grace, not by works. So why do we constantly return to the slavery of works? And this is what Paul is telling the Galatians in this passage. Formerly, you did not know God. You were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know it, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am in again the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Here ends the reading. May you be blessed by the word.
I want to make sure there's no special music this morning, right? Half the time I end up forgetting someone who's supposed to be sharing this morning, so I want to make sure I'm in good stead with our wonderful, gifted singers and players and that sort of thing this morning. You know, how many of you have ever had a computer that's gone bad? It just went pfft. But yet you had that disk, that recovery disk, that you could stick in the computer and all of a sudden it would restore all the default settings and your computer would work again for you. I think that's kind of cool to have that option when your computer goes bad. Sometimes your computer goes so bad that doesn't even work. And it's frustrating. That's happened to us before when you just have to chuck the computer and get a new one. I think this analogy about a computer may work this morning for what I think is addressing, what Paul is addressing here in Galatians. For those of you who haven't been following along, we've been going through the whole book of Galatians, and here's where we are this morning, and I wanted to address it. I think sometimes you and I need a new life, not just an updated one. We need a new life. You know, the scriptures do speak about us being old creatures and new creatures, the old creation and the new creation. It's not the old creation and kind of an updated version of it, because the old creation is really tainted by sin. He makes us into new creatures in Christ, transformed by His Spirit. Paul, I think, is trying to address that with the Galatian church. He's having issues with what has been told them after he has been with them and told them the truth. Others have come along, zealous as they are, to tell them a different truth. We've spoke a couple weeks about what some of the things that they were trying to do was to try to share with the church here that it's Jesus plus. It's the gospel plus. And Paul's telling them, no, it's Jesus only. Not Jesus plus. Not what we've told you plus. It's Jesus only. And anything else distorts what the Word of God is about. It distorts what the gospel is about. And Paul is trying to address the church with that this morning. And so I wanted to do that a little bit this morning. And keep in mind this whole idea of a computer and a computer gone bad. You know, it is interesting. I could use either the analogy of a computer gone bad replaced with a new computer, because he makes this a new creation. But I could also use the analogy that when the computer goes bad and we get restored to the default settings, you know what that really is? You know what the default settings are? The pre-fallen state. Before Adam and Eve sinned, when we were perfect and without sin, that's the default setting. And what God wants to do is to bring us back to that default setting, which is before sin came into the world. That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. And that relationship can only be if Jesus is the one who intervenes in our behalf. So, I want to state from the beginning, you and I are not updated, nor desire to be updated, but we are to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means that we need to throw away the old. It means that we need to consider the old, as Romans tells us, consider it dead, because we are new creation in Christ. Verses 8 through 10, Paul is sharing with the church what he's concerned about. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're still turning back to those weak and miserable principles? What's he saying there? He's saying, you should be a new creature in Christ. Why are you going back to the old stuff? Why is it you're going back to the old stuff? Are you guilty of doing that? I'm guilty of doing that so many times. Why did we go back to those miserable, weak principles that were a part of our life before we gave our life to Christ? He desires that we become new creation in Him, new creatures in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And he looks at the Galatian church, he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Jesus saved you by grace through faith, and yet you are throwing some other things at this and making the gospel something it was never intended to be. You were a slave to the old ways. In fact, he goes into detail and says, you know, you were so concerned about these kinds of things. Observing special days and months and seasons and years. You were concerned about the formalities of religion, but you didn't seem to be concerned at all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. We're kind of guilty of that, aren't we, sometimes in the church? We're married to the formalities. We're married to the way that you do what you do. And sometimes in so being that way, we forget the reason why we're here. It's to worship. It's to praise Him. It's not to fight over the way we do things. It's not to hold sacred cows that ought not to be sacred cows. The only thing sacred is our relationship with Jesus Christ and how that fleshes out in the way we live amongst each other and with each other, loving each other and not backstabbing and backbiting and all those kinds of things. Paul said, you all were keeping the formalities of religion, but not the person to be pointed to in that religion. That's what they were doing. Sometimes that's what we do. We've got to stop doing that. It's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we put too much emphasis on the institution and not the relationship, the institution can get in the way. Paul was so concerned about this, he thought, well, how do I get them to straighten out? How do I get people to think differently? Because now you've been poisoned by what's been told to you. You're not listening to what I told you earlier, and how do we deal with this? Well, Paul says in verse 12 of the text, and he says, look, just follow my example. What a dangerous thing that is to say, though, isn't it? Kind of, it's scary, isn't it? To tell someone, just follow my example. Follow my example some of the time, okay? You know what I'm saying? But here's Paul talking to a fledgling church that's kind of confused about what they really believe in and where they stand and where the gospel is and all this, because it's been mixed up with everything else. He says, just follow my example. Do what I have done. And Paul is not making this comment out of arrogance. He just wants to correct the wrong. He just wants to correct the church from sharing something that isn't, so that they can share what actually is. I do have a question for us. How do we follow God's example without having someone as a godly example or something? That something is what? It's the Word of God. We follow, to some degree, the example of godly people. But ultimately, we ought to be following the Word of God. Because godly people still slip and fall and fail from time to time. Paul encourages in verse 12 through 14. Follow his example. Follow the gospel. Do what God tells us you need to be doing. Follow Paul, but even more so, follow his word, God's word. What's different about then than is today? Think about this for a moment. We have God's Word right in front of us, don't we? I mean, probably every home here is represented by a Bible, at least one. In our home, we got a whole bunch of them. I got a whole bunch of them in my office. And then I got a bunch of commentaries about the Bible in my office and a whole bunch of other books about the Bible and all that sort of stuff. But think about it back then. In Paul's day, he had a couple letters that Paul wrote to them, or maybe wrote to some other churches, and he shared with those churches what he'd written to other churches about some of their struggles. They didn't have the New Testament with them at that point in time when this was written. They had the early apostles that were telling the people about Jesus Christ and what he did for them, and they had perhaps a couple letters, and they were being taught by them, orally taught by them, but they didn't have what you and I have here today. This is important. For Paul, the early church had to get it right, because the early church getting it right would pass on to the church universal down the road what is right. And what was right was when the canon was put together for us so that we too could follow the Word of God, living it each and every day. Paul was trying to help the early followers to get it right, and others had come in and messed with it. And what did it end up doing? Verse 15, what has happened to all your joy? What has happened to all your joy? You see, when we don't get it right, you know what gets taken? Joy. When we don't get it right, that's exactly what happens. You see, if we try to live our life as if we have to earn whatever it is that God is going to give to us, that'll steal our joy. Because you know what? You and I will keep trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. Just never quite got it. Well, I did good today. I've got joy today, but tomorrow's another story. You see, if we don't follow what God's Word says, our joy gets taken from us as well. You know what I told you at the beginning of the service? That no one's going to steal my joy. Because I want to follow God's Word. I want to do what God's Word tells me to do. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and He is my ultimate authority, and I'm not going to let anything in the world take that from me. I can have joy in the midst of chaos. I can have peace in the midst of chaos. And Paul is telling the church why, as he says right here, what has happened to all your joy? He could testify about what they used to do, what they were doing for him, and thinking, you know, you would have done anything for me, but someone has stolen your joy. What has happened? Well, it has happened because what? Verse 16. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? The joy was taken because you didn't follow the truth. That's why they didn't have joy. That's why they no longer had joy, is because the truth was no longer a part of what they were living. They were living something different, something extra, something other than the truth that Paul was speaking of here. The lack of truth took their joy. We need the truth. And the truth will keep our joy. Don't be zealous for anything but the truth, the gospel. You know, you and I can get zealous about a whole lot of things out there, and it distracts us from what is central. We can get zealous about what's going on in the world today, but if we get too zealous about what's going on in the world today from a human perspective, what happens is it starts to steal our joy and takes us away from that which is absolute and central, God and Jesus Christ. Be careful, folks, about that. Paul says in 17 and following, he says, being zealous for the right reason. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, but be zealous for the right reason, for God and His purposes, not zealous for something that is not of God. And Paul was telling the people there in the Galatian church, you're starting to go by things that are not of God. You need to do the things that are of God. As I conclude here this morning, I want to go back to the computer. The computer gone bad that needs restored. Sometimes our spiritual life goes bad. We've allowed viruses, say, probably a bad word to use nowadays. We've allowed these things to infect our life. Untruths, lies, and they've taken us further and further and further away from God. And we've allowed people to throw those kinds of ideas in our hearts and in our lives. And we become so infected that we don't operate the way God intended us to operate. We need to be restored or made new. Some would even say, my life is such a mess, God, just make me absolutely brand new from scratch. He really can do that. He really can do that. Three verses I want to read for you as I conclude here. These are verses that I hope can keep you like Paul wanted to keep the Galatian church. He said, I want Christ formed in you. That's what he's saying to the church. Here are some verses, Romans 14:17, that says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. That's being concerned of the things of the world. Okay? But of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember that. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. This is speaking of Jesus. And even though you do not now see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's where your joy comes from. Not the stuff of life. Not from even a president. Comes from him. Comes from him. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Not rejoice in the Lord sometimes, but rejoice in the Lord always. There are times in life it's really hard to rejoice in the Lord. Remember Job, when all these things were happening to Job? And he lost his cattle, and he lost his camels, and he lost his whatever. He lost a whole bunch of stuff, and he lost his family. What would you and I do at that point? Kill me. What did he do? You remember? He fell down and worshipped. After all that happened, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. What he's telling us, even though we don't understand our circumstances, and sometimes, folks, as even has been shared this morning, sometimes those circumstances are really tough. They're really difficult, either at a personal level or at a macro level. They're big, they're huge. But I'll tell you what, He tells us, not rejoice in the world, not rejoice in anything that's going on, not to rejoice in what's going on at a macro level. Rejoice in the Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. That's where it's at. Some people appear to be religious, as I said in the title of the message this morning. But where's their joy? They're missing out on the central part of that. Religion will get you nowhere. Only a personal and vital relationship in Jesus Christ will give you that really joy, that real joy that you need when life is happy. And even when life's not so happy, I can still have joy. Nothing and no one can steal that from me if I've got Him at the center. I believe that's what Paul was trying to tell the church in Galatia right here, was that very thing. They were going with the gospel plus. They were dealing with worldly kinds of things. They lost focus on who could give them joy. And Paul was trying to bring them back. It's Jesus that gives you your joy. We're going to spend the last few moments together remembering that Jesus gave us our joy because He died on the cross and rose again for our sin. He provided for us something we couldn't provide for. And I lean wholly and completely on that, because without that, I'm sunk, I'm cooked, I'm done. Because He did that for me, I can celebrate, even though we do it in a kind of a corny fashion nowadays with the cup and the little hoo-hoos here. Please, as we do that, I've just taken your mind off communion. Please, as we do that, remember what He did for you and what He did for me. Would you?